From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome to the show tonight. And I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and every week we deal with issues relating to mental health from a holistic perspective, meaning body, mind, and spirit. And we deal with a variety of topics. I'm actually a little bit lost here right now because my guest was a little late getting here, so hopefully he's joining us momentarily. But tonight's topic actually is going to be a very interesting one, and rather challenging, if I can use that word. We're going to be talking with a new friend of mine named Gary Scott in a little bit. And
I'm here, Stuart.
Ah, welcome, Gary.
Thank you.
You made it. I was getting a little worried there.
I do well in the mountains, but not in the city.
So I was just actually getting into a little intro, but I'm going to introduce you first and then talk about why I'm talking about the topic here.
Great.
As long as you're here now and I'm relieved.
I'm here.
Gary is somebody that I met very recently at a conference, actually, and he's the author of a book called Summit Strategies, Secrets to Mastering the Everest in Your Life. And Gary, in addition to being an author, is an international mountain guide and the world record holder for the fastest ascent of Alaska's Mount McKinley and a pioneer of extreme rock climbing. So, Gary, welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I'm actually very excited about it. And I actually, from my announcements that I send out about 600 of them on email, I actually got a response from a friend in New York who knows who you are.
Oh, wow.
And her brother is a rock climber. So
oh, that's
said, how
great.
Do you know them?
Nate.
So hopefully Tish or her brother is going to be listening in tonight and maybe calling in and
that'd
participating.
Be awesome. That'd be great.
So, as a therapist, and as a talk show host dealing with mental health issues, people who have listened before know I'm talking all the time about the exhaustion we all feel in relationships or in our lives, trying to get ourselves together, trying to get focused, trying to put the next foot in front of the next foot and keep moving forward. And very often people describe it as I just can't get out of bed, I just can't climb that next hill. And very often, you know, they use the metaphor of a hill.
Right.
And as a mountaineer that you are, the one thing, and I actually read your whole book and loved it, actually. I'm going to be quoting quite a bit from it when you're not talking. Is that you're using mountain climbing as a metaphor for mastering one's life, and using the thing I loved about the book, actually, one of them anyway, is that you really personalize that this is your journey. This is, you know, not just your trying to climb Mount Everest and getting so close but not quite making it, but just being there and realizing that was the journey for you. But realizing that your mountain climbing has really been your journey to inner peace. Your mountain climbing has been your journey to self-enlightenment. And the fact that you so personalize it with your stories of the climbs, to me, especially with my ADD mind and brain and stuff, I learn better when it's storytelling. It's like the way you present it is almost like Native American storytelling, and I really loved it that way.
Oh, great.
Before I start pumping you with a lot of questions, I want to read to the listeners, this book is on the market now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I'll be saying the title many times, Summit Strategies, but in the introduction, you wrote, when you spend a great deal of your life focused on one activity, especially one as mentally, physically, and emotionally demanding as Himalayan mountaineering, when you've lost more than two dozen friends to the mountains, and had to make life and death decisions over and over again as quickly and as easily as choosing what to have for lunch. You can't help but gain some valuable insights into life. Extreme adventures provide extreme lessons. Nature is an unforgiving classroom, and nowhere on earth are the forces of nature more unforgiving than in the highest mountains on the planet. From my experiences, I have learned a great deal about myself, including how to set and achieve goals, how to overcome my doubts and fears, and how to achieve peak personal performance. To me, that really sums up the book and your experience in here. To introduce you, so give us a little bit more about who you are and a short history, because what I want to do with the show tonight, I mean, you have 10 chapters and 10 lessons in here, but I want to give people something to want to go out and buy the book for. So I really just want to talk about three or four of them.
Absolutely.
And that has to do with honesty, the fear issue, redefining oneself, and choosing the right partners.
Got it.
But how has your life gotten to this point? Tell, you know,
well, I started,
give a little bit more background.
Sure. I grew up in Australia, and we traveled a lot. My father was a diplomat, and when I was 6 years old, we came to the U.S. and the Canadian Rockies, and long story short, I was paddling out on Lake Louise with my father and looked up, and wham, there were the mountains, and after a brief conversation with my father, I announced to him that I wanted to be a mountain climber.
Mm.
And at the age of 8, I found out that Mount Everest was the highest mountain on earth, and it became my goal to climb it. And essentially, every moment from then on, I have spent climbing and learning the skills, and I left university and climbed 6 days a week rock climbing, and then left and traveled to Nepal and lived there for 3 years, and have done over 50 high-altitude trips, 30 trips to the Himalayas, twice on Everest, and it's just been a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm. And now you're sharing it with everyone else. Plus, you hold the record for the fastest ascent of Mount McKinley in Alaska, correct?
Correct.
How many hours did you do that in?
18 and a half. And to put it in perspective, a typical group would take 2 to 3 weeks, which includes time for acclimatization. And I went on the peak and acclimatized up there, and then went from the base camp, which is at 7,000 feet, to the summit. So it's quite a long way. It's 16 miles and 13,000 feet. And 18 years ago when I set the record, it was well ahead of its time. And I'm proud to say that many people have, not many, but some top mountaineers have tried to beat the record, and no one has. So
there you go, and you're proud of it, and you should be.
Yeah. It was a great day.
I can imagine. You know, it's like we see movies, you know, most of us have seen movies that have to do with, you know, mountain climbers or you know, crashes in the mountains. There was that one in the Andes with the soccer team, I think it was, and stuff like that. You know, it's like hard to imagine what it's like up there. And the near the end of the book, when you describe the Everest experience where you came within, I think, 1,000 feet of the summit and had to turn back because you were ill.
Right.
The loneliness that you described in this book, the solitude that you described in this book, was so powerful.
Mm.
And the way you got the lesson from it was so powerful. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know I'm getting right into the crux of this stuff, but I think it's important.
Well, it was a, for any mountaineer, it's just a lifelong dream and ambition to go to the world's highest mountain. And, eventually I worked my way up to it and was invited on a trip. And I ended up getting caught out in a storm at 26,000 feet trying to reach the last camp. I describe it as having my own in-the-thin-air experience, but I was by myself. And essentially got caught out and was battling for my life and just didn't feel very good. Later on, I found out I had bronchitis and pneumonia, so I was in one of the worst places I could be in some of the worst weather, and just personally feeling as bad as I could possibly feel. And I ended up being on my feet for 22 hours before crawling into the camp at 26,500 feet. You know,
not
well
just on your feet. You're talking about walking in, you know, a depth of snow and a blizzard around you.
It was blizzard. It was probably 60, 70 mile per hour winds. It was whiteout conditions, and if anyone skied in whiteout, you can't. There's so much snow in the air, you can't tell what's up or down. I was obviously very cold. I hadn't had anything to eat or drink for a long time. There was a 5,000-foot face to my left that I could have easily stumbled off of, and I was lost. I didn't know where to go, so I was wandering around trying to find this last camp and eventually found it about 3 a.m. The sort of tough part of that is that I got to the camp, but there wasn't any helicopters or buses coming to pick me up. I waited until the sun came up and turned around and went back to the same area where I'd been lost headed back down, which took me another 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And during that time, it was really an epiphany. It just hit me that certainly it would be wonderful to reach the summit, but I wouldn't really learn that much from just plodding up that last little stretch. I really had learned what I needed to learn that night.
Which was?
And, well, after I learned a lot about myself, after surviving that storm, I knew that I was stronger than I ever thought, and that the real joy and the real meaning for me was not necessarily reaching the summit, not reaching the goal, but I had to be at peace and happy with who I was. And the point being that whether you win three Super Bowls or an Academy Award or make $1 million a year, that's all wonderful and good. But if you're not happy with who you are, you know, what's it really worth? So it dawned on me that even if I got to the top, it wouldn't really matter if I wasn't happy with who I was as a person. And I realized that I was happy with myself as a person, whether I got to the top or not.
Mm-hmm. The thing, and I think we're going to be needing to take a break here shortly, but when we come back, to me what was so powerful is how Everest and that summit has been such an important goal for you, and how you've been able to surrender, and the lesson being how to reset those goals when
right.
circumstances dictate. And a lot of people have difficulty with that, and I want to talk about that when we come back from this break. So,
right.
Please stay tuned. This is Stuart Ultra. Tell the truth faster. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back.
Up high.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tonight we're talking about, we're talking with my guest named Gary Scott, the author of a book called Summit Strategies, Secrets to Mastering the Everest in Your Life, and a world-renowned mountaineer. And he wrote this book, which basically uses mountain climbing and mountaineering as a metaphor for life and the work that we have to do on ourselves in order to achieve the summits that we set in our own lives. And Gary, before the break, we were talking about how in that near-death experience you had, you know, coming down from, or trying to get up Everest the last time you went up there, the importance of, at some point, I know that you wrote how important it was to hit that summit, but all of a sudden you realized, you know, you're carrying, I think, 40 pounds of supplies and food for that, and that became the goal, and you were at peace with that you weren't going to make the summit, you knew you didn't have the energy, and that you were part of this team, and your role at that point was to get those supplies to that last campsite so that the others could make it up there. And there was a peacefulness that you talked about coming. Can you talk a little bit about that and the importance in the lessons for you?
Well, I just learned that lesson very graphically again this spring. I was on Everest and got even closer to the summit this time, and ended up having to turn around because of some things that happened and the temperature, and I was getting cold. But on the way down, I ended up helping a Sherpa down who would have, if he'd been on his own, died, and his body would have had to been left up there at the final camp. Mm. And even though I went the second time to try and get up Everest, I knew that, and I feel tremendous peace, that my purpose for being there the second time was to help him down. Tragically, he died on the last final descent to base camp, but we were able to bring his body down and give him a funeral, and according to the Buddhist ways. But I know that that was my purpose this time, and I think part of it is being flexible, and certainly it's disappointing, but we can have our eyes focused on our goal. But there's perhaps the universe has other plans for us, and I think the lesson is to go with that and learn during that time what you're supposed to learn and follow that path and be comfortable and at peace with it.
And, you know, it's like what this book basically is everything that I think any conscious therapist is teaching their clients, and hopefully any conscious therapist is trying to learn for themselves. I know a lot of these are, you know, very basic metaphysical principles that you talk about that, you know, a lot of theorists in psychotherapy would be talking about also. One of the other things that I appreciated is how you use other people's stories as anecdotes to make points in here, and not just your own. And in chapter 4, where you talk about believing in yourself, you talked about this guy named Gary Guller.
Mm-hmm.
And can you briefly talk about that story? Because I think that is so important, because I feel that a lot of people will hear this story and say, I don't think I could have done what he did.
Right. Gary, and it was actually him that I went to Everest with this last spring, probably 20 years ago, was climbing in Mexico on the volcanoes with another team, and one of his partners fell off, and they fell a couple of thousand feet, and the injuries of the fall resulted in him losing some nerves in his arm, to the point where he just had a limp arm. And he got to the point where he realized, what's the point in having it, and made the very difficult decision to have it cut off. And after that, he went through a really tough time, sort of second guessing himself, and was he worthy as a partner for somebody? Was he really a man anymore? What could he do with his life? Would he be accepted? And he went through some really low times, and he was facing some Everest in front of him, and fortunately he jumped out of it. He was on painkillers and then went to drugs, and as a way of really numbing the pain, and he ended up getting right to that low point where he decided to try and get himself out, and just really turned his life around and realized that his life was worth living and that he could accomplish some things. And this past spring he ended up climbing Everest, first person with one arm to be able to do that. But he suffered a tremendous loss and went through a severe bout of depression, but finally figured out that he could do something with his life and he could be someone, and he turned around and started believing in himself more, and now he's achieving great things.
You mentioned in there, which I think is a very important statement in the book here, he stopped thinking about what he couldn't do and started thinking about what he could do.
Exactly.
In other words, and that's what I was talking about earlier again, about redefining ourselves based on the circumstances.
I think we're so hard on ourselves too. You know, it's rather than looking at the 10 things you didn't do today, looking at the one or two things that you did do. And even though you might not be where you want to be in your workout program or your weight loss program, but looking at, gosh, but I did lose 2 pounds. Okay, I've got 25 to go, but, you know, pat yourself on the back every now and then and congratulate yourself for what you have done. And part of my journey has taught me that you know, it's wonderful to have these goals. It's great to write a book. How well will it do? Well, it'll do as well as it does, and all I can do is all I can do. So, and just reaching a level of peace with that.
That's terrific. One of the other areas that you got into that basically is the basic premise of the show has to do with honesty, telling the truth faster. And you put it in, you know, well, throughout the book in particular, but also in lesson five, overcoming your fear, how you talked about, I made the decision early in my climbing career to accept that I would have such days, meaning, you know, days when, you know, I go climbing, I just don't feel quite right, I may feel disconnected, nervous, fearful, anything that makes me uneasy. And I have to be honest with my climbing partners and tell them what is going on. I learned that to try to ignore that feeling and continue might make me lose some of my nerve and be worse off the next time, but also might make it more dangerous for the people you're climbing with.
Right.
And to me, the whole premise of this show and my approach, you know, to life and therapy is telling the truth faster. And that's what you're talking about here. People are afraid of admitting their fears. Go ahead.
It's so interesting, and I love your philosophy, and you know, I've talked to you about it, that, you know, it rung so true to me when you explained your philosophy. But imagine you're climbing up a mountain or a cliff face with somebody, and you're in a frightening situation, which often happens because you're hanging off a cliff, or you've got weather coming in, or there's a long distance beneath your feet, but so your partner, we'll call him Fred, is afraid, but he doesn't tell you he's afraid because, you know, that's admitting too much and perhaps damaging to his ego. So he says, you know, I'm not feeling good, and so, you know, you offer him some Tums, and he says, you know, I'm still not feeling good. And so you have to abandon your climb, and you descend, which can be dangerous, and you both go home, and it could be, you know, in Yosemite Valley, or it could be halfway around the world. Whereas, you know, and no amount of medicine is going to fix Fred because he really doesn't have that symptom. Whereas if he was honest and just said, you know, Gary, I'm really freaked out. We can sit down, we can have a cup of coffee, we can talk, we can try and rationalize the situation, and many times I've been able to turn someone around and say, well, look at the reality. It's more dangerous and more frightening to go down than if we keep going. So why don't we keep going? And, you know, we've eventually got to the top of the climb. They felt good, but they were able to, and they felt good because they were honest and they expressed their fear. We dealt with it. We helped them get over it and move on, and we both had a successful climb. But it's so counterproductive, you know, when people, and that's why I always tell my climbing partners, just be honest with me, because then we can deal with that.
Well, the beauty of your book, though, is as you're applying this to mountaineering, you then take it to the level of personal relationships and business partnerships and everything else, and the importance of applying these same, you know, concepts of honesty and telling the truth, and knowing that when you're communicating something to someone, at least then the relationship has something to work on and something to deal with.
Well,
we're
going to
take another short break and continue this conversation with Gary Scott, author of Summit Strategies. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Please stay tuned, and if you're listening, I'll give you the call and number when we come back from this break. Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm talking tonight with Gary Scott, author of Summit Strategies. If you are listening and want to call in with a question or a comment, Feel free to do that if you're in the Phoenix area. The local number is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. If you're listening via the internet and want to call in on a toll-free line, it's 1-888-437-7660. 888-437-7660. Gary, we're talking about honesty and telling the truth faster, actually, before the break, and how your book, throughout the book, actually, really takes everything from the metaphor of mountaineering into daily life. One of the quotes that I wrote down, and I forgot to put the page number down, is the combination of motivation, purpose, and progress make for an exciting daily existence.
Hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. You were talking at the start of the show about people that have a hard time getting up in the morning, and I believe that to stay motivated where you can't wait to get up in the morning, you've got to have something to be looking forward to and something that excites you and keeps you going, keeps you motivated to get up and do what you need to do. And a lot of people get bogged down in the day-to-day grind and, as we've heard, the rat race, but what is it perhaps outside of what you do for work or to pay the rent to get you excited? It could be poetry, it could be music, it could be whatever it is, it could be learning to fly. Think about what it is that you would really like to do and spend some time doing that, even if it's a little time every day. You hear about the person that says, I can't wait till I retire so that I can paint. Well, what about getting up a little earlier in the morning or turning off the TV at night and just starting to spend time in the activity which really motivates you to finish work and head home and do that which excites you.
And that means having a sense of purpose also.
Exactly.
Not just the motivation. That's one of the things I really liked about that quote, is you combine the motivation, purpose, and progress, because progress isn't made unless you're motivated and unless you have a focus, a sense of purpose in life.
And I tell people, just gosh, close your eyes and think about if there was one thing you could do in your life, or one thing you accomplished, what would it be? And for some people, it'll come very fast. And it could be, gosh, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. I've always thought about writing a book, or whatever it is. And gosh, start. You know, go on Amazon.com tonight and buy a book on how to get published,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. But just starting that process starts everything, and then you've got the progress to which keeps you going, because that book's going to arrive, and you can start reading it, and that'll lead to other things. And so I've personally never had a real problem with that, but I know that some people do, and they're perhaps even still searching for what it is that moves them forward. Even spending time with your children, raising a great family, is a great goal to have, but thinking, how can you do that better? How can I spend some more time with my family? Could be something that gets you motivated.
And it gets me to another one of my favorite quotes from your book. I really like the book, Gary.
Thank you.
It says, be humbled, not daunted by what you don't know.
Mm.
That applies to what you just said about parents, because so many parents are afraid to get involved with their kids and do things because they feel like they should know how to handle this really well.
Yeah.
And everything we do in life is a humbling experience, unless we beat ourselves up or, you know, what we feel is our inadequacies or our shortcomings and things like that, instead of seeing it as a challenge and an excitement to learn something new.
Right.
You know, and to take ourselves to the next level, because we realize, hey, there's something I don't know, and I can learn how to, I can learn it. I can research it. I can help my kids research it. We can learn it together.
Exactly.
you know, and then you become better parents because you're letting your kids see your humanity. You're able to say to them, you know, I don't have the answer to that, but let's see where we can go together to learn.
Which is exactly in line with telling the truth, Boston.
Exactly. Exactly. One of the other things she said in the book is, which I really liked, don't cancel plans because of obstacles. Go out and gain experience from them. And to me, that's like one of the basic themes of the book is, okay, you know, my phrase would be fear forward. I get that from Sandra Ray and other my teachers. It's the same thing. If you're faced with a fear, you know, most of us cower back and we won't get out of bed because we're afraid. Instead of, well, this scares me, I'm going to see what it's like to walk through the fear.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you've done throughout your life, obviously.
Exactly. And now one reason that I do well in the mountains is I've also experienced every type of weather and situation. So in many ways, I'm already prepared for it so that I know what to expect and how I'm going to react and what it's going to be like. Whereas if you never take your bicycle out for a ride because it's raining, and then you go out and you do a triathlon and it starts raining in the middle of the bike portion, you know, you're not used to that. And it develops a fear and an anxiety that can wear you down. And often we worry about all the obstacles that I was talking to someone about the other day about. They wanted to travel somewhere, and we often get bogged down in, well, how am I going to get there, and who am I going to go with, and what company, and how much is it going to cost, and how am I going to get the time off? And I was trying to encourage them to, hey, you've already said you want to go, so let's worry about everything else.
Mm-hmm. Just go.
Just go. Yeah, put it in your calendar, and let's worry about all the other things. And what I've found, which is amazing, and I've had a few examples of that since I've seen you, is when you just sort of throw it out there, I'm going to do this, the universe opens these doors that allows those things to happen. If you, I tell people, if you want to go somewhere, decide and make the decision that you're going, and then amazing things happen to allow you to go.
Yeah.
Whereas if you never make the decision, you're not opening the doors of the universe to have positive things come to you.
A classic example in my own life is I was really afraid to travel to Europe. You know, I almost went with some college friends when I was in college and stuff like that. And finally, I'm 33 years old, and I have the opportunity to have like a security blanket. A friend from college had been living in Italy with her husband, where she went to medical school, and she wasn't going to be there. So it's like I said, if I don't go now, it's going to be that much more frightening. And
yes,
here I was, 33, and I really thought I didn't have the money to afford this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'm going. First thing I did was I booked the airline ticket. I somehow found the money for that. I told her when I was coming. The next thing I knew, I said, okay, now I need certain places I'm going to need to pay for a hotel. And I created the money for that. And I did it step by step. And when there was just something about moving through the fear of that, and I remember even now talking about it, I can remember at age 33, and this is like 20 years ago, of feeling so alive the moment I got on the plane.
Yes.
I was so in the moment of the flight, of getting off the plane, of the atmosphere of a different country. I mean, it was like every sense in my body, every nerve and every sense in my body was more awake than I'd ever experienced it in my life.
Well, and I bet part of it, too, was not as much of, and you were open to that, but partly because you broke through a fear.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And there's been times on climbs where I've been frightened, and I thought about it and hesitated, but I finally said, no, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to keep going, and you get to the top, and I'm more excited about breaking through that little barrier, which on a climb we call the crux, than doing the climb, which is what I went there to do. So for people, you know, they'll come up to an obstacle, and it could be travel or whatever it is. The more times you pull away from it, you're training yourself to back away from the things that you want to do, and we can easily get in the habit of doing that. Whereas you just take that step and you realize, boy, that, like you did on that trip, it wasn't that bad. You're being honest and truthful with yourself because you're pushing forward with what you decided to do, and the elation and the excitement, and you just start feeling proud of yourself,
and
you start to build on.
Something woke up inside of me that I don't think in my whole life I had ever had awake.
That's great.
And it's never gone back to sleep.
That's great.
You could give me a ticket. It could be a bus ticket. It could be a plane ticket. Not even tell me where it's going, and I'll make an adventure out of it, and I'll
right.
say I'm going.
That's great.
You know?
That's great.
That's what travel does.
It does. Absolutely.
There's another chapter that I think is real important, and if we hear music saying we have to go to a break, we'll take a short break, but we're going to go right into this in the meantime. It's the crux of relationships. The seventh lesson, choose your partners wisely. And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, and we're going to take a short break, but I want to talk a little bit more about this before the end of the show, because I think it's important. So we're going to take a short break here. This is Stuart Altschuler and Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM in Phoenix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Gary Scott and Summit Strategies. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and tonight's topic is the title of a book, Summit Strategies, Secrets to Mastering the Everest in Your Life, and the author is my guest tonight, Gary Scott. And Gary, before the break, I said I wanted to get back to the relationship stuff, because so much of all of our lives are based on relationships.
Right.
And there, again, is a point you make in the book, in the chapter, it's lesson seven. Choose your partners wisely. And we talked earlier about the importance, I think we did, about the partners that you choose to go up climbing with. Maybe we didn't get into that. And how important it is that you know the people you're, it's a life and death situation, so it's important that you know these people that you're going up these mountains with and have a relationship with them so that you can work with each other. Taking that into the scheme of interpersonal relationships, you say in this book on page 87 that the most important aspect of life is your relationships. So why compromise your standards with your life partner, your friends, or the people with whom you work and do business? The people you surround yourself with should contribute to your achievements. You can choose to share your dreams with people who will be honest with you and want you to succeed. Go for the best. Take no chances. Choose wisely and selectively. Remember, it is your life. I love that. I mean, I espouse that all the time myself, but you put it so beautifully in that. How does this play out in your own life?
Well, I am very selective with who I spend my time with. And I know a lot of people from a lot of different areas, and I choose to, you know, associate with people. I don't just go out for lunch or coffee or whatever with people that I don't want to spend time with just because I feel like I should. I also, I see a lot of people out there that I believe they compromise things in their relationships, and a lot of it's based on fear. They end up staying with someone that they're not really happy with, or that doesn't really treat them that well, or that doesn't bring them joy. And back to, once again, they're not being honest with themselves. They're not telling the truth to themselves or their partner, and so they settle for something less. And you see that with people in their jobs. You know, they hate what they're doing, or they don't like the people they're working with, and you know, gosh, life is too short to be in a situation, whether it's work or a relationship with people that aren't the best person for you or the best work situation. And be honest, you know, be truthful and be truthful to yourself and take a step out of that. And it's hard to do and it's scary, but a lot of people stay in bad situations because they're afraid of being alone, or what if I don't get another job or another boyfriend or girlfriend, and it's just a sad way to live.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that's why a lot of people end up in couples therapy or individual therapy. They're afraid of making a change. They're afraid of saying this relationship is destructive, it's dysfunctional.
Yes.
And I love this person or I don't love this person, but if I love this person, how do I work on it? How do I make the changes? How do we improve our communication and our intimacy skills and all this other stuff? And if I don't love this person, why am I still here? What is it that's keeping me here? And, you know, therapy is one place of many to start exploring that.
Right. You know? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's one of the things that I like about your book, is this whole chapter on choosing your partners. You start with the concept of the importance of the life or death importance of the partners you're climbing with.
Yes.
But it's life and death when you're talking about the people you're hanging with.
Absolutely.
And the people you're, you know, the person you're crawling into bed next to every night. And,
exactly.
And, you know, the impact it's having on your children, you know, and other people in your lives. If they see this constant drama and constant pain, you know, there's enough violence and victim stuff going on in the world without
exactly.
you committing to continuing and perpetuating that because you're staying in a relationship that is violent or dysfunctional or victimizing you or someone else.
Exactly, and it is so true, and I feel very fortunate that I'm not in one of those extreme situations, but a sort of a lighter, and I, you know, I'm still working on things in my own life, obviously, but I was proud of myself I lead adventure travel trips, and I was worried about a particular trip filling up, and I did have some people give me a deposit check, and that was very nice, but when I sat down with them, I realized that, gosh, I was going to have to spend 3 weeks with these people, and I didn't really like them, and they weren't very positive, and I thought, well, the other people I'm taking have to spend 3 weeks with them as well, and so I was looking at the financial aspect of it and to fill this trip, but I thought, no, you know, I need to tell the truth, and I also need to follow my own principle of only associating with, you know, the people that I want to, and I sent their money back with a nice letter just saying, I think there's a better trip out there for you, and as it happened, the trip filled up with great people, and we had a great time. It was one of the best trips I've ever done.
When you clean house, and that's another one of your chapters, which we could spend the whole show on about simplifying. When you clean house,
gosh,
you make
yeah.
room for better people, better things, better energy in your life, and that's what you did.
Yes, and I do that with belongings now,
mm-hmm.
And I talk about it that when you give things away, that creates a vacuum and allows the universe to fill that, and it can be with friends, it can be, I mean, there's people that go out night after night with people that are not adding anything to their life. I mean, at that point, you'd be better off spending time by yourself, but no new friends will come into your world while you're hanging out with the people that you're with.
Well, before we close, is there anything else you want to share? I know you briefly mentioned that you actually take trips, you know, you take groups of people up into the mountains and stuff. How can people reach you if they're interested in doing that or if they want to email you? Or
sure. I can be reached. I've got a new website, which is Summit Coach, S-U-M-M-I-T, coach.com, and people can email me at Gary@GaryScottAdventures.com. Gary Scott Adventures with an S.com. And I love to hear from people and answer any of their questions. And, you know, I'm just here to help people, be more and achieve more and just to realize that, the most important thing is just going for it. And, all you can do is give things your best shot. and we're still valuable as people regardless of whether we reach our goals or not.
And the beauty of you presenting this is you're not just giving it lip service, you're living it, and I really value that in somebody. So I want
trying.
Well, no, you're doing. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll have you back again. And I want to close with another quote from your book. It's actually in the last chapter, Seek Peace Within. We all have an Everest to face in our lives. Whether it's a physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, or financial mountain before you, it's crucial always to have dreams and goals to pull you forward. But in the end, conquering your Everest isn't the real secret to inner peace. It's what you learn and what you become from the attempt and how you apply that knowledge to your next mountain, to your next challenge. Gary, thanks again.
Thank you.
And if people couldn't write that down, they can go to tellthetruthfaster.com and get the information about how to reach Gary by tomorrow. That'll be up there. And thank you for listening. This is Stuart Altshuler. Tune in next Tuesday night on KXAM. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Good night.
Good night.